you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Everybody, happy Saturday. Today we are jumping back to an episode that was inspired by a trip I took to Epcot. But don't worry if you're not into theme park things. It is in no way about anything Disney.
Nope. It is about the origins of the Phoenician alphabet and how that filled a communication gap for merchants when it was invented.
So let's just hop right in.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
And welcome to the podcast. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And today we're talking about a piece of history that touches most people, and probably most people that are listening to this podcast in English.
Yes.
But it also touches many other languages, and that is the Phoenician alphabet. And it actually, I was inspired to research this a little bit because last time I was in Epcot and I was riding Spaceship Earth, which for anyone who doesn't know, that big geodesic sphere in the middle of the front of the park that's kind of their icon, there's actually a ride in that. It's a very gentle and calm, but air-conditioned, which is important.
And you get to sit down for a while.
Ride, yes, through sort of the history of man and how we've evolved communications. And our communication methods. And the ride broke down as we were just adjacent to the Phoenician trader ship. And so it was an unusually long breakdown. So for like 15 to 20 minutes, I just kept hearing over and over Dame Judi Dench saying, "Remember how easy it was to learn your ABCs? Thank the Phoenicians. They invented them." So after you hear that 100 times, you start to think you should thank the Phoenicians and do some research. And that is how we landed here.
I'm sort of imagining you in a no TV and no beer make home or something moment inside of Spaceship Earth.
Well, to be fair, I really do love that ride and I love watching the animatronics and I kind of enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But it did sort of eventually bore into my brain and make me want to do some more research. So just for a little background on the Phoenicians, Phoenicia was situated on the eastern side of the Mediterranean. So along the coast of modern day Syria and Palestine and including, the lands of modern day Lebanon, but they were pretty coastal. Their actual land wasn't very expansive, which is likely why they turned to the sea and life as merchants for most of their, income and sort of well-being.
So while today the Phoenicians may be known most for their alphabet, they innovated in other ways as well.
one of my favorites is they knew how to make purple dye, which most people who have studied history at all know is kind of a huge deal. It's a big textile advancement. They were actually known for making some pretty impressive textiles. And the earliest example of their production of this so-called royal purple, which is a dye that was actually worth more than its weight in gold, was found in the excavations of the 13th century BCE levels of the Phoenician city of Sarepta in Lebanon. And incidentally, and related to this, we don't really know what the Phoenicians called themselves. The name is actually Greek in origin, and it's believed to signify the color purple red that they were known for making, which is kind of interesting.
So the dye was so important, they named a whole people after it.
Yeah, it was a huge part of their culture that was one of the things they had innovated.
Some accounts even credit the Phoenicians with the discovery of glassmaking.
And I read a few different versions of how that was discovered, which is why I qualify it as some accounts.
Mm-hmm.
They did make glass, but whether they actually discovered it or picked it up and then refined it, some historians argue about.
Yeah, I should have asked the boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, because he's a pro at,
yes,
at how these things come to be.
He has a degree in glass science.
Yeah. Ask him and we'll get back to that one. But they were also really great shipmakers and sailors. And according to legend, one of their greatest sort of accomplishments in terms of seafaring was at the request of the Egyptian king Necho II, and they circumnavigated Africa in 600 BCE, which is huge. I mean, that's a long
journey. It's a very long voyage.
And most accounts suggest that they actually stopped at one point and made land and lived on the land for a little while and got some crops going to sort of refill the boats.
Yeah, it seems like some sort of restocking would have been necessary just for what it takes to support people on a boat.
Yeah, and in 2008, there was a reproduction built of a Phoenician ship, and it actually sailed the same course. And that's like a 20,000-mile voyage, so that's long. And it took that modern vessel 2 years. So presumably, you would have run out of supplies in a 2-year period.
Yeah.
And would have had to restock. There are actually some historians who suspect that the Phoenicians traveled all the way to North America, although that is argued in history circles.
It's a controversial idea.
Yeah. There's a March 2013 CNN article about the possibility, and in it, they interviewed geology professor Dr. Mark McMenamin of Mount Holyoke College, and he mentions that there are actually Phoenician coins that are inscribed with maps of the Old and New Worlds, which supports this idea that they did, in fact, make it to the Americas at some point. And the same group that recreated that circumnavigation of Africa is currently raising funds to sail that same ship across the Atlantic and try to see if that was truly possible. Because unlike where they went around Africa and they could kind of pull in and stop, there's nowhere to pull in. There's no rest stop between there and here.
Yeah, the idea of going across.
They could find islands, but that's kind of a little bit of a long shot.
Yeah. Well, and the idea of going across the whole Atlantic Ocean in a little tiny boat is kind of terrifying to me.
It's not so tiny. It's certainly not a cruise ship. But
no.
It's,
yeah. If I'm traveling across the whole Atlantic, I kind of want there to be, you know,
a floating city.
Lifeboats and a safety drill before we leave.
Yeah.
About how to get into the lifeboats.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, I haven't read a lot about this particular plan, but I'm sure they have support crew always at the ready, because they are hooked up to, like, GPS and stuff.
Yeah. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Say goodbye to complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping, and say hello to an advantage with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Every business faces challenges, but shipping shouldn't be one of them. So keep things simple with clear, upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges for Saturday deliveries, residential deliveries, or fuel. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, helping you counter the rising costs of doing business with a budget-friendly alternative. And keep things reliable with on-time ground shipping, ensuring your shipments get to where they need to go while maintaining your hard-earned reputation. USPS Ground Advantage is your ticket to easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. It's the complete delivery service your business needs to rise above the competition. There's never been a better time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They traded all over the Mediterranean and parts beyond, and their culture is recognized as the first real globalized business,
which is pretty cool. And about the alphabet, so prior to this alphabet, the Phoenicians were using a cuneiform script, just like the rest of Mesopotamia was.
The roots of the Phoenician alphabet are in the 15th century BCE, in what's sometimes referred to as the Proto-Canaanite or Proto-Sinaitic alphabet. The earliest examples of Phoenician writing date back to 1200 BCE, and they are inscriptions found in the city of Byblos.
And it is no accident that Byblos is also the root word for bibliotheque and Bible.
And bibliography.
Exactly. All of the book-related words. If you were to look at a linguistic family tree of alphabets, Phoenician would be really close to the base. And because the Phoenicians traded with so many other cultures, their form of written communication spread really quickly and really widely. Most other alphabets can actually be traced back to the Phoenician alphabet. So the direct descendants of it include Aramaic, Etruscan, Archaic Greek, Old Hebrew, and Proto-Arabic. And there is also even some influence in Indian and East Asian language.
Only consonants are represented in the Phoenician alphabet. There are no vowels. This is also called an Abjad alphabet.
It made me think of, when I was researching it, when you see people's license plates that just have, you know, a very reduced version of a word and you have to kind of fill in the vowels.
Yeah.
Because initially I was like, how did that work? But that was kind of my modern ticket into how that might function.
Or old real estate listings from before the internet, when you only had so many column inches in the newspaper.
And there are actually only 22 letters. And those letters can be traced back to hieroglyphs in many cases. So their form, and even there's often in some historical accounts kind of a flowchart of how, like, this word for ox turned into this shape, which turned into this letter, which has similar sound or whatever. So it was born of these other things, but it filled a void of sound-based alphabet.
Generally, Phoenician was written from right to left, but in some instances it was written in a Buster-Feeden style, which means that it would alternate direction. Once one line would be written from right to left and the next from left to right. The alternating direction would continue, so somebody reading the language could read their way down a passage of text without ever having to jump visually to the start of a new line, which, as a child, I just wondered why that was not how we did it.
Well, it has been tried.
Apparently.
But mostly Phoenician, to the best of my knowledge, does go from right to left. And you do have to do the jump just like we do in our left to right reading of English. There were also not normally spaces between words, which seems a little bit crazy, I think, to the modern mind. But there were sometimes dots to distinguish words, and sometimes there were vertical slashes, like a vertical stroke. But eventually, spaces did come into play. And by the 6th century BCE, spaces were becoming more common than the dots or the vertical strokes to create word separation.
The Phoenician numeral system was also written from right to left, and it bears a resemblance to the Roman numeral system. It combines symbols to create complex numbers a lot like Roman numerals do.
Yeah. And much of the Old Testament was originally written down using the Phoenician alphabet because there weren't really any other options in the way of a standardized writing system at the time that was an actual alphabet and not pictogram.
So why did the Phoenicians want to create an alphabet in the first place?
There is a very short answer for this.
Bookkeeping.
Yes. They were trading. Roman scholar Pliny the Elder is credited with defining the Phoenicians as the first traveling salesmen. And Pliny the Elder gets a little bit of a grain of salt with anything you read. He was apparently given to exaggeration, and he was very, very pro-Phoenician. Like, he really admired that culture. But it is pretty widely accepted that he was accurate in this characterization of them, because they were traveling all over the place, and their entire culture was really based on trade.
So as we mentioned, they traveled all over the Mediterranean and maybe even the globe. The goal of the new alphabet was to create a system that would be easy to learn and understand by their business associates. And before this, written communication had been pretty pictogram-based. It was so diversified that different societies could not share written information and have everyone know what the symbols meant. So the Phoenicians found this way to break words down into characters with different sounds that could be combined to create any number of words. Because this was a written codification of sound instead of pictograms, it was easily adaptable to multiple languages.
And because this alphabet was invented to record and track trades, the alphabet itself sort of became traded. It was the language of business transactions, but it also got adopted for general use because it filled this void of systemized writing that was, again, not pictogram-based, that people could pick up pretty easily.
Yeah, and that lets you more easily transliterate other languages.
Exactly.
Cadmus the Phoenician is giving credit for introducing the alphabet of his people to the Greeks, as told in the writings of Herodotus.
And Herodotus says, "The Phoenicians who came with Cadmus introduced into Greece, after their settlement in the country, a number of accomplishments, of which the most important was writing, an art till then, I think, unknown to the Greeks. At first, they used the same characters as all the other Phoenicians, but as time went on and they changed their language, they also changed the shape of their letters. At that period, most of the Greeks in the neighborhood were Ionians. They were taught these letters by the Phoenicians and adopted them, with a few alterations for their own use, continuing to refer to them as the Phoenician characters, as was only right as the Phoenicians had introduced them. So even though it had evolved, they still attributed its the alphabet to the Phoenicians.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Say goodbye to complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping, and say hello to an advantage with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Every business faces challenges, but shipping shouldn't be one of them. So keep things simple with clear, upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges for Saturday deliveries, residential deliveries, or fuel. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, helping you counter the rising costs of doing business with a budget-friendly alternative. And keep things reliable with on-time ground shipping, ensuring your shipments get to where they need to go while maintaining your hard-earned reputation. USPS Ground Advantage is your ticket to easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. It's the complete delivery service your business needs to rise above the competition. There's never been a better time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We should point out that even though this was a defined writing system, there were variations on the alphabet in different Phoenician colonies. Cypro-Phoenician, Sardinian, and the Punic and Neo-Punic, which is the cursive version of Punic, versions found in Carthage. The Carthage versions of the alphabets continued to be used until about the 3rd century CE.
And with the development of this new written alphabet also came new ways of writing, so it kind of catalyzed a whole new age of communication. Wax tablets came into being where they could imprint letters into the wax. Pens, ink, papyrus, parchment, and eventually paper kind of all came from this development. So it was a very rapid growth element in the world of communication.
In 332 BCE, Alexander the Great put Phoenicia under Greek control. And then in 146 BCE, Rome demolished Carthage after pursuing Hannibal there after the Second Punic War. And what was left of Phoenicia became part of the Roman Empire.
And ironically, very few instances of Phoenician writings actually remain. The papyrus that they often wrote on and some of those early forms of paper has really not survived terribly well. What we know mostly is from other cultures writing about how awesome the Phoenicians were and about their alphabet and its development. The oldest surviving Phoenician writing example, which we briefly mentioned earlier, is in Byblos, and it's on the sarcophagus of King Ahiram, and it's dated at approximately 1200 BCE. And most of what we know, like I said, has actually come from the writings of the Greeks. So even though the Phoenicians have kind of, there's a little bit of a shroud of lack of information around them from them, other cultures wrote about them enough that we know about them.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
So now if you're stuck in spaceship Earth, you'll know.
Thank the Phoenicians. They invented them. Also, the way that Dame Judi Dench says that is so charming that I will never, ever forget it. That's pretty awesome.
It's because Dame Judi Dench is awesome.
Yeah, she is. Prior to her, it was Walter Cronkite that narrated that ride, but then they updated it a few years back and she took it over and did a beautiful job.
Thank you so much for joining us for this Saturday Classic. Since this is out of the archive, if you heard an email address or a Facebook URL or something similar during the course of the show, that may be obsolete now. So here is our current contact information. We are at historypodcast@howstuffworks.com, and then we're at Missed in History all over social media. That is our name on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, and Instagram. Thanks again for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.